Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Yes, it is indeed. It is Hutton O'Clock. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, where you can see Hutton's very fancy pants background. Hutton, I am digging the lights behind you.
I'm glad you approve. You know, this is a random color choice, and it popped up on the app. So here we go.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I want to know if you like Mike Vrabel's decision, the official announcement yesterday, naming Will Levis the starting quarterback. Your initial reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that should have been the decision all along, and not just think. I figured it would be. I think it had a lot to do with how he spoke to Tannehill, when he did, and what the message would be as he works his way back. Is he ready to go? How does he feel health-wise? Beyond all that, hey, we're moving forward with Levis, and here's why. And Tannehill, he's a pro at this. I mean, he came in as the backup with Marcus Mariota, and he will leave as the backup of the Tennessee Titans, barring injury. Levis is the focus of the franchise right now. It's time. And beyond Vrabel making the obvious choice, I would believe ownership feels the same way. You know, you want to get better on the offensive line and the secondary. They are what they are. But in terms of what you hope to build on going to the offseason and where they are as an organization currently, this is the right move, even if you determine that he's not the guy. Because that decision is crucial based on a franchise that is going to have a high pick, right now a top 10 pick, and a franchise that also has the most money currently to spend in free agency. If they know that Levis is their future and the investment should be made, that is a huge, huge decision off their plate going into the offseason. That otherwise, if they move forward with Tannehill in the final year that we all agree is the final year, you don't know that. And they've got to figure that out. And this is why you make this move. And also, let me just throw in there, it's not like Tannehill was producing at the level we're used to based on what's around him. And I think based on what we've seen from Will Levis, while there are going to be ups and downs, to me, there's not a big drop-off in terms of what we've seen on the field production-wise. And you want to see if he can build on that based on what we've seen through two games in a short time frame.
And I think based off of what we've seen, and of course, it's a tiny sample size from Will Levis. It's just been two games. But I stepped away from those two games thinking this guy gives you the best opportunity to win. So it checks two important boxes, two priorities for this team, which I think is one, winning as many games as possible this season, and also looking ahead to next season and grooming your quarterback of the future, or seemingly the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I mean, and we're seeing touchdown passes, right? And albeit against the Falcons secondary, who Josh Dobbs just lit up too. But I mean, again, like we have seen bad defense played against the Titans in the secondary prior, and we've seen Tannehill throw two total touchdowns to that point. I'm not berating Tannehill here. I think he's been a pro. He's been excellent in what they've asked him to do since they signed him or traded for him. And again, like he deserves credit where credit is due, but also where they are franchise wise and just from the top down organizationally, that is the position that they have invested in now twice in the draft, back-to-back years. And with Will Levis now jumping up from the third string and taking over and winning the way they did against Atlanta and feeling like while Levis wasn't anything great against Pittsburgh, I don't leave that game thinking, man, this is where they really need to go back to Ryan Tannehill. And when you know that, and when they have three wins and if they score 21 points twice on the road this season, they're 5-3 instead of 3-5. This is a no-brainer decision given the development of what needs to happen at that spot.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, host of Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Now, Hut, why do you believe, you know, people, let's just say here locally, were so apprehensive at first about Will Levis, you know, coming in and playing immediately? Because I understand the history of this league, but the league is much different than it was 10, 15 years ago. No longer are these quarterbacks sitting. They can't afford to sit them. So if you need to play, you need to play. The Aaron Rodgers situation, that was a whole different situation. Aaron Rodgers was still playing at a high level. Love was coming in. You see what happened in San Francisco. Had they found out that kid couldn't play earlier, they probably wouldn't have had to, you know, luck up on a Purdy. They would have realized he can't play. Let's move on and you know, draft a quarterback where we need to draft one. But why do you think people were so apprehensive of, no, don't put him out there, you're going to damage him? Do you think it was more so because they didn't trust, even though they say they trust Vrabel, they really didn't trust that he would develop this young quarterback, or he can?
Well, I mean, what we needed to figure out was what was going on behind the scenes over the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And he was injured during the preseason as well, which set him back some, and why we didn't really feel like there was a competition for the backup spot, but he never took over the backup spot. But, and by the way, they gave Willis a chance in some situations mm-hmm. that didn't turn out well. They were definitive on that and made the call with Levis when they needed to and should have. I think the apprehension, and by the way, I don't get the sense that fans are up in arms over this.
I think now they're like, hey, let's go, let's move with it, and let's do it.
I think fans are relieved.
Yeah, but I think early on it was, you're going to damage the young man. The offensive line's not good. Don't throw him out there. Wait, you know, let him, you know, learn by watching. You can't do that any longer in the league.
Well, welcome to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Like, look, that's the situation rookie quarterbacks who go in and start are in. Carolina, with what we're seeing with Bryce Young. I mean, it's not always easy and making it look easy the way C.J. Stroud is currently on the path that he's on. But he's also had a bad game against Atlanta, turns around and has a record-setting performance. But even Joe Burrow he got knocked around his rookie year. I mean, that's just par for the course in the National Football League. And you go through that in order to have the progression of year two and year three. And that's where franchises make the big jump, because you've got the rookie quarterback who is not available or eligible for a contract extension until after year three. And if you can capitalize and develop your guy and know he's the franchise QB, then you go and move forward with it. And injuries are going to happen. And I think avoiding injury is as much a skill as it is a curse. If you end up with those time and time again. But that's what has happened, by the way, with Tannehill behind this offensive line. And I will point out, Levis is taking a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, unlike the Titans defensive line, if you're facing the Titans offensive line, your D-line is going to get hits on the quarterback. But that's part of the development of playing the position. And they had the luxury of letting him sit back for a bit. Even though I agree with PK and Kaharski and others who say it was inevitable that Tannehill was going to get hurt again. And it may be the case, by the way, for Levis, but that needs to happen in the progression. And the thought would be, hopefully the coaches come up with a plan that isn't going to lead us to that path, given what we've seen so far.
Now, let's switch on the other side of the ball, the defense. You know, more importantly than naming Will Levis the starting quarterback, and obviously he has, you know, a bona fide guy to throw it to in D-Hop and a guy behind him that he can hand the ball off to take a little bit of the pressure off of him to go out there and win ball games. But to me, the other most important part of this is the defense. The defense, yes, I think, needs to step up and play the way, damn it, that we believe they can play. Because if they're not going to help this young man, if he has to feel as if he has to go out there and score 28, 35 points in order to win a ball game, that doesn't do anything for his confidence moving forward. So to me, and I want to know if you believe this or think this way as well, the defense, to me, needs to step up their game, because they are indirectly going to help what Will Levis does out there on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree with you, Mace. And look, going into the season, the identity of the team and the investment of the team is in that front seven defensively. And right now they're getting pushed around against the run. I mean, their last four games, they're dead last in the NFL. And gaps haven't changed in 100 years of the sport. They've got to win at the line of scrimmage. And their top paid players have to be top guys. And that's not happening. And then you mentioned the run game. Flip it to the other front. They've got to establish the line of scrimmage. They have 61 runs over the last two games. And only one run gained more than 20 yards. They've got four carries over that time frame that gained 10 yards or more. That there's a lot of games left to be played, but if this is a team that at least wants to be in range of week 18 in a wild card spot, again, scenario wise, bottom line, they have to win the line of scrimmage and they have to be the more physically dominant team in the trenches. And, you know, it, the secondary is what it is, but the secondary can, you know, can make some plays based on the plays being made in the passing game. But if you're able to establish the run, and they're allowing guys to have career days, two backs so far, and it's not backs that deserve to be compared to some of the former Pro Bowlers or all pros. If they're allowing that, then the secondary's not going to look very good whenever it is time to pass, because they're going to pick you apart. And it's got to start up front on both sides, Mason. They have to have explosive plays. They're doing it in the passing game with Levis. They have to have explosive plays in the run game. And that goes back to the 10 yards or more, 20 yards or more. That hasn't happened. And the third down conversion rate on the road, they have the worst third down conversion rate when they're away from Nissan Stadium of any offense in the National Football League. So, again, if it's built through Henry, and I think Levis truly benefits based on the fact that Henry's with him, Hop is with him, then they've got to make sure that at least they do something in the trenches in the run game if you're going to be facing some of the top pass rushers or run-of-the-mill pass rushers who are going to start taking shots and tee off on your quarterback. And what, three of the last four games, they have, what, combined the Titans' defensive line for three total quarterback hits? That's awful. And it starts with stopping the run so you can then do that to the quarterback.
Jonathan Hutton is with us as we talk Titans here. And, one of the things that came up at the press conference today that I thought was a really good issue, and Mike Vrabel actually acknowledged Paul Kuharsky partially for asking a good question, which I made note of, because that doesn't happen every week, right? But Paul was asking, give me names of players you think have improved in the first half of the season. And Mike Vrabel got a little abrasive and said, look, I'm not going to get into a full half season report card here. We got to beat the Buccaneers. We're still in this thing. But he did acknowledge that it's important to have steady improvement for everybody on the team, especially in the big picture now. So I'm going to hit you with three names to keep it to one position area, right? Let's call it the skill positions, because think about if you get nothing from these three guys from now until the end of the season and what that means for next year, as opposed to if you do get improvement. Kyle Phillips, Chig Okonkwo, Treylon Burks. To me, those are three really important guys that in a perfect world, a couple of them end up being guys that have good chemistry with Levis that you say, okay, next year I've got these guys in place in certain roles, and now I can look at other holes that we know are going to be very pressing, like the offensive line. I think those three guys are huge in the second half of the season.
Well, and they're crucial, not just in the second half of the season, but on where they must improve in the offseason or the draft. I mean, again, I automatically think left tackle in the draft, right? Like I'm just running through where they must address and where they're not going to improve in the second half. That also stems to the draft picks and the investment made with the three you're bringing up. And you have to go into the offseason thinking, well, they are on the right trajectory. Okonkwo has been stuck in the mud dropping passes. Meanwhile, Treylon Burks drops passes and can't stay on the field. I've said on the show before, what I'm told is they thought Burks could be back sooner than when he was. So, again, it's all just a perception of those two. And then Kyle Phillips, I mean, when he's on the field, he can add to the slot position, not just a chain mover, but he's got explosive potential. But, again, stay on the field. And it goes back to just the size and the ability to – can he do that, given where he's going to be taking some hits? I'm skeptical of that, but when he's available, it's a great thing. But the connection between the quarterback and the top wide receiver, that's with Burks. And right now, their fingers are just crossed that he actually is able to get back and actually have some consistency where he's available and stack games together. where he's on the field with Levis. That's step number one. And I think from an Okonkwo standpoint, it's just more in his head than it is ability at this point. They've got to try to get him out of the rut the same way a kicker would be trying to do that right now.
I think that's a fair point, that it's probably mental as much as
I think
physical.
So.
But that's – D-Mace made this point the day that they traded Kevin Byard. You know, are you throwing in the – people were saying, are you going to throw in the towel or are you still trying to win? Mike Vrabel was trying to walk that line at the press conference, saying, yeah, we're still trying to win. But people were like, well, you just traded your defensive captain, right? And so it's tough to reconcile both of those. But D-Mace's point was this. Look, if you want to be in the league, you better lock in and you better prove that you belong in the league and you deserve a job on a team that's trying to win. So that, I think, is a really important factor here going forward. If the team just says, well, you know, we're going to the Will Levis era, everything's going to be new next year. Let's just play and have some fun. Like, I really think you're trying to identify, kind of like the Predators are in right now, identify who is a part of the future and who is not, right? So they really need some guys to develop that chemistry with Levis or show that they want to be on this team next year and beyond. And I think it's a major thing to watch. And hopefully in the meantime, you win some games and you play meaningful games down the stretch, right? And you experience some success, because I think this is what Mike Vrabel always fears, that if you just go into the mode of, well, we're rebuilding, we're tanking, then it's even that much harder, I think, to build back the winning culture.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the mood and the phrase I would use is neutral right now. I feel like the players know, because just reading the vibe and the body language or some of the answers post game, talking John Burton at Channel 5 and Steve Lehman about just reaction and what they gathered from Pittsburgh. It feels as though that the players know they're not consistent enough to be who they want to be. They can't stack success. And after a big win last Sunday, there is another road loss four nights later. And those are neutral results, and it's a neutral locker room. They need a spark and consistency, but at the same time, the coaches and management know they can also develop the quarterback that can provide that now, and they can build towards the future and figure out the pros and cons of, is this our franchise guy moving forward? And in order to do that, he's got to have help around him, right? And that certainly starts with Burks, Hopkins, Henry, with the vets around him. They also need to be consistent in what they're doing. And look, Okonkwo and Phillips are, at this point, bonus. But you would like to have an answer, and if we don't have an answer, we'll have an answer, right? Like they have to figure that part out, and if they can get two of the three, if they get one at this point, that is a solid development given where we were talking about these three over the first half of the season, and in red zone, where is the confidence level? They have two red zone touchdowns on 13 opportunities on the road this season. Oof. And that's where Hopkins is supposed to be at his best. Same would be for a tight end or finding a Burks in that opportunity. They got to get to the red zone, of course, but that's where you build momentum, confidence. And oh, by the way, if the defense gets back to what they're doing, right now they're not good up front. They were fourth in the league over the first four games, dead last up front over the last four games. If they get back to what we know they're capable of and what they're expected to be, then they can also go to the sideline and know that they don't have to hold the opponent to 16 to 19 points per game for the Titans to leave Nissan Stadium or Tampa Bay with a win instead of a loss. That's also key, just from the mentality and mindset of all three phases. We haven't seen them put together all three phases like we have seen against Atlanta, maybe Cincinnati. That hasn't been consistent enough. And it's not just about the quarterback and the receiver, but that's also why it hasn't been consistent enough.
Last one from me, Hutton. Jonathan Hutton is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. How do you view this Tampa Bay game? Is this a game that the Titans need to win? Is this a game that they should win?
It's a game they can win. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going on the road to Baltimore, going on the road right now to face Kansas City and Arrowhead. this is a Tampa team that doesn't play well at home. And it's a Titans team that doesn't play well on the road. And now they have a definitive direction. Like, there's no what Vrabel said publicly is also just putting it out there and not having the players have to hide behind, oh, we don't really know who's splitting reps at practice kind of thing. Everything now is on – they're all in the same line. They know the direction, right? They can tell where the franchise wants to be versus where they are, and they see a path ahead where they should have taken care of business in Pittsburgh. That was a winnable game. Point being, they've got back-to-back games here with a chance to, again, build consistency. Do I think they can do that? Sure. Do I think they can fall flat on their face? Yes. I don't know what to expect from Tampa Bay either, but I do know that the Titans aren't good when they leave Nissan Stadium, and that's a problem. That's a huge issue, and it's against the Tampa defense that just got throttled against a rookie quarterback last week. No defense was played, by the way, on either side for two defensive-minded head coaches, but we saw C.J. Stroud go off with a game-winning drive in 40 seconds, but Baker Mayfield also led a 10-play drive to take the lead over a time frame of like a 5-minute drive, 3-minute drive to take the lead in Houston, allowing only 46 seconds left. Tampa would be a different perception for me had they won that game, mm-hmm. but they can score. And can the Titans do that? I've yep. yet to see it to where I would bet on it. Can they win? Yes.
Should they win? Want a shootout
do they need
year.
To win? Sure. But I don't know right now, Caroline, if it's anything that makes a difference on where we and where the staff, the front office, ownership, what they've got to figure out over the final stretch here for where they need to be a year from now, 2 years from now. Because either way, they have so many issues to address. It's all about, to me, what Willie's getting back to. Mm-hmm. Developing some consistency and an identity. And they have not done that to where they find a way. They've got to find a way against a team that is certainly beatable and not that good.
I mean, New Orleans was a winnable game. At Indianapolis yeah. was a winnable game. Pittsburgh was a winnable yeah. game. Even the game in London against Baltimore was a winnable game. From what we've seen of this Tampa Bay team, they're a beatable team. You got to start winning those winnable games.
And it took 28 points to beat Atlanta. Again, like it's the NFC South, not good. AFC South, other than Jacksonville, inconsistent. But some teams are explosive, like Houston. Some teams are not, like the Tennessee Titans. And they need to get back on that path by actually throwing the football and not choking it down whenever Levis has a couple of bad passes and they've got to just go to the run and punt. I think they just need to open it up some. And I'm not saying live or die by the passing game like they did in New Orleans, which is not smart either. But they've got to let the rookie kind of figure things out, and it also I think gives them a better chance to be more less predictable on certain downs and distances, which is always great, and you can still do and go through the run game in order to accomplish that.
Hutt, you're the best. Hutton O'Clock is our favorite time of the week. Appreciate for stopping by, Hutton.
I thought that was silly underdog picks favorite. That's my favorite time of the week.
Well, maybe you'll get an invite from our commish for our next round of silly underdog picks.
Here's all I'll say about this real quick. I don't need to be in this competition because Derek Mason is apparently crushing it.
Crushing it.
So, I mean, if it's already determined that this guy is going to win every week, I just want to follow his lead. I don't need to give other picks. I just want to bet his.
It was over after week one.
Yeah, pretty much so. But, we got 3 more weeks left.
3 more weeks left. All right. Well, start closing in here pretty soon. All right, Hutton, appreciate you. We'll chat next week.
Always great. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right, we'll react to what Hutton had to say there coming up next, plus another narrative that's been coming out since the announcement yesterday that Mike Vrabel made that Will Levis will be the starting quarterback. We'll get into that. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.